All right. I swear to God, we had no idea the show was beginning. This program is live, of course, and local, and relatable. Much more so than other radio programs. But I will tell you this, that the vast bulk of this station, well, it doesn't run automated as such. I mean, there's people here. But a lot of the things, the days of having to sit in the studio and manually fire each commercial, having to fire each break, having to play each song, having to put in a cart that has like a Mattress World jingle or something on it, those days are gone.
We don't have board ops to be mad at anymore.
No. It's coming in and yell at the automation. Damn you, Audio Vault 5-6000! Damn you to hell! And so all the last commercial break and then the Attention FM DJs, that thing, and then the opening, it was all just playing without our knowledge. We had the speakers turn in the background, and we were having this ongoing discussion about Scotty J's attempts to find questions from the World Series of Pop Culture. And then we looked up and realized that the show was actually beginning, and none of us had even noticed it. There you go. It's that kind of attention to detail that is the hallmark of this, the Rick Emerson radio show. It's a woman in 38 seconds after the hour of noon, and this, the month of July, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. If you'd like to be part of today's broadcast, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com to take part in any of our kvetch sessions electronically. rick@rickemerson.com. It is Tuesday. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. We appreciate your patronage. Here's what's coming up today. Bushwatch coming up today. Double, right? Yes, two. Double snuff watch. Yes. We have a double snuff watch. Peter Carlin, who is never tired of reminding me that the Boston Globe referred to his book as excellent, he'll be joining us today. I think at 2:30 or so we're going to be talking to him. When does his book come out? Do you know?
It probably says so on Amazon.com, if you go there.
I think it might be this week,
maybe
actually.
Scotty could do that.
Are books like records? Do they come out on Tuesdays? I don't know. We'll figure it out. So Peter Carlin, who's a TV critic for The Oregonian, and whose latest book, I guess his only book. Has he written other books?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. His first book, which he'll never top now. He's peaked.
It'll be his Titanic.
His book, which he must now milk for all it's worth, since it will be impossible to surpass. Catch a Wave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson. I think it comes out this week, next week. Anyway, Entertainment Weekly gave it an A. And so we're going to flog our association with him for all it's worth. He'll be coming up later on. CNN radio correspondent Jim Rube will be here to talk about the death of someone that no one in the audience will remember. What else? Ed McCarthy is going to be here to talk about, I swear to God, trade secrets at Coca-Cola. As though convincing us all to drink endless quantities of sugar water in brightly colored cans isn't really their only trade secret.
It's just powder that they mix with water. It comes in a big bat.
Is that true?
Yeah, I worked as a temp at a Coca-Cola plant in New Hampshire way back.
Is there any place that you have not temped at?
I don't think so.
It comes in powder form?
Yeah, in big barrels from Puerto Rico.
Are you going to get shot after the show or something?
Seriously, and take you up back to break your teeth? All right. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Coca-Cola is a powder from where, Peru? No, that's a different powder. Well, I guess that used to be in it, too. All right. Bada bing. Anyway, so there you go.
By the way, Peter's book's out. It came out on June 23rd.
It's not June 23rd yet. Oh, is it?
Yeah,
wait, is it out now? That can't be right.
It's July.
It's June 23rd, 2006.
It's out now.
It's out now.
That's got to be false because... Because I would know about it. Clearly, I would have been given an advanced media copy.
Do you think it's a typo? You think they mean July 23rd?
Maybe my copy of the book went to Matt. Maybe Matt Peterson is, I'm reading the Speech Boys book. Maybe Dave Paul got my copy of the book. All right. Well, because at first they'd said his book was coming out in September. First it was April. Then it got pushed to September. Then it got pushed back, I thought, to July. And why would Entertainment Weekly only be reviewing Peter Carlin's book now if it came out like three? That's like 4 weeks ago. And why would he have been taking a two-week vacation? Well, maybe that's what you do when your book is finally published. Well, all right. Clearly, this all has to be sorted out. In any event. So that's all coming up.
Okay, wait. Then it just says it was published at Rodale Books on July 10th, 2006.
See, this
that was yesterday.
Now, I thought books...
we'll figure it out.
I don't even know. Well, whatever. Peter Carlin wrote a book, and We're going to bask in his reflected luminescence later on today. Also coming up later on in the program, well, we'll talk more about this in a minute, but from our sister station, KUFO, Court and Fatboy, it hasn't, I'm not going to say anything, we will be smoothing things out today. It was a long, in-depth and awkward phone call yesterday that they made. And I was sitting there at the desk, at my desk after the show, and the phone rang. And it was one of those things where it was an unrecognized number. And it, I don't know if you're like me, but when you get the unrecognized number, are you always just tempted to send it to voicemail? Like, you never, because you know that it's no good. It's either somebody, it's, when it's an unrecognized number, that means that they are either intentionally blocking it, and I'm not even sure that that works with cell phones. If I'm calling you on your cell phone from a landline, and I do that star 67, does it work on a cell phone?
I don't think so.
I don't think it does. And so when somebody's calling from an unrecognized number or it can't discern the number, that means they're calling from inside a building somewhere filled with white people. And usually that means it's a guy who's trying to collect money from you. So I just ignore those calls. Because I found out, I know I talked about this on the air, I found out that weeks ago that my number used to be somebody else's. Like, long before I had it, my number apparently was the number, and this is true, this is not me, like, trying to paying debts that I owe. My number belonged to some ne'er-do-well. And I think he or she eventually lost the number anyway for non-payment of their cell phone bill. The cell phone number comes to me, but now occasionally, I get bill collecting calls and telemarketing calls that are for, like, Hector, you know? And so I just learned to ignore all of it. I pick up the phone yesterday, and it was Court and Fatboy calling me about all the unpleasantness. And so they're going to be here today, and much like the Corleones meeting with the Italians.
Can they both fit in the studio?
What's that?
Can they both fit in the studio?
What? Whatever are you implying, Tim?
I don't know. I'm just going by name recognition alone.
Now, that is a fair point.
True.
No, that is a... Touché.
I have no idea what they look like.
That is a fair point.
So do you think it's one of those ironic things where his name's Fat Boy, but he's really like 100
his name
pounds?
Is, his name is Tiny or Slim. All right. That was Tim Riley. Said that, by the way.
They don't even mention me. I don't have to worry about it.
Yes, for good and bad, you're not even part of the equation. You know what it is? Here's the thing. And you know why that is? Because I think they know, and I think everybody knows, because we've had these run-ins with people, and I'm not going to dwell on it right now. They'll be here at 1:30. They will be in at 1:30 today. Court and Fatboy will be in the studio. And we will smooth, this gives me a chance to reference The Godfather for the 9 million times, like the meeting of the five families. And so we will talk about this at 1:30. We'll get everything squared away once and for all. We'll let the past be the past. But I will make this one observation, that we've had these kind of run-ins with people in the past, and I don't like it. I talked about this a lot yesterday, that I don't care for these stupid radio wars because they're just pointless and tedious and cliche, and it just makes you sound like a desperate hack. And I'm not just saying that about that. I'm saying everybody. No one comes out the winner there. It's like a bunch of guys in a pit throwing manure at each other. It's just pointless. And I think I, like most people, I associate these radio wars with just a bunch of tired has-beens desperately trying to get their name into the public consciousness again. That's who usually does this. And so I can count on two fingers the number of times we've ever done that in this market. And the last time was the fan guys. It was all pointless and awkward. But I will say this, that Sarah and I tend to get the brunt of the attack. I get the brunt of the attacks, and then some always sort of spills over onto Sarah. And they're all afraid to make fun of Sarah too heavily because they're all secretly hoping that she'll bed them in some future incarnation of her employment. That at some point she'll end up working the overnight shift and they're across the hall playing a Toby Keith record and then their eyes lock, you know, over the coffee machine some morning. So they're all hoping that Sarah will in some way, lavish her feminine favors on them in the future. Not going to happen. But I will also know, though, that everybody leaves Tim out of this, because I think they know that the minute anybody sullied Tim, the listeners would come and they would disembowel you with sporks. And we all know that it's true. No, and it would take a long time. They wouldn't do it quickly either. It'd be slow, and they'd take lots of coffee breaks, and they would then film it, and they would send it to your relatives and mock their pain. And they would take great pleasure in doing that. Anyway, so they're going to be into 1:30. We'll get it all smoothed out. Sarah X. Dillon is joining us today, as she does always. All right. Let's see if we have anything more to say there.
No.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
The president is ordered.
Hello. That's kind of loud.
That is a bit hot, isn't it?
Hey, and your microphone seems to be working again.
Huh.
Can somebody fix this?
Who knows? It always sounds the same to me.
When you're deaf,
I guess it's
every microphone is flawless.
They all sound about the same.
I can't wait till I'm deaf and everything sounds fantastic.
Well, the president is ordered to give our Guantanamo Bay guests rights under the Geneva Convention. A crazy cat lady's found dead in a box inside after felines are vanquished and the windows open.
Fantastic.
Jessica Simpson dreams of Brad Pitt, and a Florida store clerk attacks a boy for not buying a yo-yo.
All right. So and where was that at?
Florida.
Okay. Here, I should answer a question that I got emailed several times yesterday. During the Florida news, we have our Florida sounder. We also, by the way, have a Miami sounder that Scotty J made that we will never be using. But we have a Florida sound that we play whenever there is news from the, is that the Sunshine State?
It is, yes.
The Sunshine State. Somebody's asked why the Florida sounder sounds so bad lately. They said it's almost as if multiple copies were playing at once, or as if it was recorded in on top of itself. Here's the problem. Is that Sarah also has, there's a finite number of news, of sound clips that Sarah and I both have. Some of the sound clips I have, for example, oh wait, is my computer up? All right, such as this.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
I have that sound clip. Sarah does not. I have this one.
Arizona, Arizona.
Sarah does not. There are some that you have that I don't have, though.
Yes.
Like what? Play a sound effect that you have that I do not have. Thank you. No, you're too kind. But there are a handful of sound bites over which they sort of like concentric circles that Sarah has and I have. For some reason, we've latched onto the Florida one as the one that we both feel ownership
you're
of.
You're just very slow at hitting the Florida button.
It's because you got it right in front of you. I got all this stuff on my screen that I got to move out of the
way.
So whenever there's a Florida story now, Sarah and I both leap for our computers at the same time. Because, again, nothing is played off cart anymore. Nothing is played off. We don't have any records. There's nothing played off tape. Everything is played off of these different computer screens in front of us. So we're both leaping for that sound effect at the same time. I usually win, but then comes in about half a second later, and so there's this horrible jiggering sound of the two.
Halfway through the entire sound effect.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Saying that one of us, whose name is Sarah, is frequently slow with that sounder, but still insisting that she has some sort of proprietary ownership of it. And so that's why those are frequently played on top of one another. So, just so you know. So we're not really that incompetent. I mean, we are, but it manifests itself in other ways.
Rick, I just hate all the dead air when you're trying to, you know, uselessly find it.
Flailing about pointlessly like a hamster in a maze. All right.
Get started.
There you go. And zing. Here's Tim Riley, the City Desk.
Time Thank you. For the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From Hyatt House, the bottom of the Coin Tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Meet, Tim Riley reporting. A Eugene boy is dead after slamming into a glass display case while playing soccer indoors. Jorge Miguel Ventura Sanchez and his family were attending a quinceañera, which is a traditional Mexican celebration of a girl's
it's like a bat mitzvah.
It's a sweet 15 party. Yeah. The 11-year-old and other children entered a building at the Yamhill County Fairgrounds and started a soccer game inside.
What kind of a building was this?
This is a county fair building.
All right. But it wasn't like a living room or something.
No.
All right, okay.
No. Police say the boy crashed into the case while lunging for the ball. He was lifelined to a manual and died.
I don't understand how that... So it's just a vending machine. So he whacked himself into a vending machine while running?
Yeah, apparently so.
Mm-hmm.
He crashed into a case, a glass case.
Did he break the glass or something? I mean, apparently, I don't mean to dwell on morbid details, but I'm saying it seems like doesn't seem like that would hurt you too badly.
Yeah, apparently must have crashed.
Man, I remember when I was a kid, how old would I have been? I would have been like 10. My younger brother James would have been 5, and you can see the ending of this coming a mile away because you've seen it in a million films since then, but we had a sliding glass door that led into the backyard, and my mom, of course, was and is a complete neat freak, which I appreciate now. As a kid, I thought it was wacky, but she's, like, in my house, like, you would put down a glass that you're drinking something, I gotta use the bathroom, you'd set down the glass, you would come back, the glass would be, like, washed, dried, put away.
Oh, that's good.
No, it's great, and as a kid, I thought she was mental, which she sort of was, but I appreciate now the fact that she kept a clean house. Anyway, so... The sliding glass door was bereft of any sort of stickers or smudges or dirt or fingerprints that would let you know when it was open or closed, especially if you were an excitable 5-year-old boy. So my brother came racing in the house one day from the backyard, bam, right through the sliding glass door and knocked out 3 of his front teeth, which is the best thing I'd ever seen up until at 10 years old. Man, that's better than anything you've ever seen in your life. You could see space aliens land in the backyard, and they could come out and give you a year's supply of M&Ms, and it wouldn't be nearly as crazy seeing your younger brother, who you dislike intensely because you're a young boy.
and because all young boys hate each other, it was fantastic. But it just seems strange that this, well, never mind. I don't want to dwell on how it happened, but.
So he's dead or he's in critical condition?
Oh, damn. Yeah. All right.
Well, time now for the Bush Watch.
Here's your Bush Watch.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name.
Wow.
Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's on my own. That's my Bush.
Well, Democrat Joe Biden has just returned from a trip to Iraq. How do things look over there, Joe?
The larger reality is that Iraq and the success of our mission there remains a prisoner to a terrible and growing violence and the lack of a plan to stop it. I still don't see a strategy for victory in Iraq. The only strategy I see is a strategy in the party administration to prevent outright defeat.
I like Joe Biden a lot. I don't know anything about him, and that's based solely on one appearance on Real Time with Bill Maher. Did you see that creepy interview he gave last 2 weeks ago there where he talked about, he said this out loud, and look, I realize that we're always clamoring that we want politicians who are real people and just like us, but there's certain phrases you don't want to hear come out of certain people's mouths. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to hear Joe Lieberman talking about washing in a fold or something. I realize
we got him coming up in a few minutes.
Oh, great. Thank you. I was washing a fold last night. I can't do Joe Lieberman. Biden was being interviewed a couple weeks ago about something or other, and I swear to God, he said this out loud. I don't have the soundbite, but he said this in front of an open microphone. He said, blah, 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 out here, whatever, on the campaign trail, da, 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 da. And then he said, I'd rather be at home making love to my wife after my children are asleep. Which is a weird thing to say, especially the after my children are asleep part, which for some reason makes it sound a little creepy to me.
I mean, his children are probably in their 40s. What are they doing living at home? And why is he waiting for them to go to bed? Do they have a bedtime?
Yeah, they're all sleeping in hide beds there at the end of his wife in his bed. Yeah. All right, so there you go.
Well, the Bush administration, called to account by Congress after the Supreme Court blocked military tribunals, says all detainees at Guantanamo Bay and in U.S. military custody elsewhere are entitled to protections under the Geneva Convention. Tell us it isn't so. So, the senators have to figure out what to do about the several hundred detainees, at Guantanamo Bay. The U.S. Supreme Court recently gave the boot to the military tribunal system. Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee.
But it is a very complex matter. There are many, many questions.
I think chunks of his throat are coming out as he talks. Is that bad tape or is that like bad larynx right there?
No, that was just him.
Yeah, Arlen Specter's like 180 years old. Let's play that again.
But it is a very complex matter. There are many, many questions which have to be answered.
Doesn't that sound like one of those sound bites from the 30s?
Uh-huh.
It's like FDR standing
up
there.
Humanity.
Yeah, encouraging us to stay brave.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's the Bush Watch for
all
now.
Right, there's your Bush
He's
Watch
the president,
for
thank you. Resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country.
Now we're... Now we're just getting stories about people whacking into sliding glass doors.
I knew that was going to happen.
Well, you know, I should know the audience dynamic by now. Let's hope that these stories don't involve the deaths of anyone. Hello, Tyler the Hippie. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
You know, what's up?
We had just moved into a house in beautiful Rockwood area, and Cosmo, our Great Dane, was outside. I call him in. Come on, Cosmo. And he doesn't come, so all right, I guess I'll shut the new sliding glass door, and about 3 seconds later, I hear the biggest crash ever. He'd run headfirst into the sliding glass door.
No, sliding glass doors are just huge entertainment. All they are. They're like lawn darts. They're the lawn darts of movable walls. That's exactly what it is. All right.
You see in any house with kids nowadays, you got some sort of sticker or something taped down low they don't go.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's totally what it is. People are never allowed to just figure these things out. We got to idiot-proof the whole world now. It used to be that you would, you lost some teeth. That's the price you paid for running in the house.
Well, hey, that's natural selection for you, really.
That's Tyler the Hippie who said that, by the way. All right, thank you. Thank you, Tyler. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970.
Now back on the campaign trail with Joe Lieberman. Where's Joe today?
I honestly have no idea.
Well, he's telling supporters at an Irish pub that he believes in their cause.
Okay.
The cause of peace and unity in Ireland is a critical and historic.
They have no idea who he is or why he's there.
And it's a tragedy, really, that we're now about 8 years, aren't we, after the Good Friday Agreements, and we haven't realized the dream that was expressed in those agreements.
How do you know that people in the Irish pub are Irish?
Just some unemployed pipe fitters trying to get drunk, and Joe Lieberman comes in and starts hogging all of their space for a camera opportunity. Yeah, no one. Hey, did you see that thing the other day that Ireland's all upset that Ben and Jerry sells a black and tan? Because, you know, Ben and Jerry sells that flavor called, and I don't know anything about Ireland. All I know is
it's very green and people live in little grass huts. Oh, those hobbits? I was thinking of the Irish. I'm sorry. I got the shoot.
Are those hobbits? I was thinking of the Irish. Yes, the Irish with their huge, dirty feet.
Except for the Kennedys, they're lace curtain Irish.
Well, this has all gone so wrong. What was I saying? No one knows. Let's just forget it. Let's just skip it.
Well, Joe Lieberman was an Irish pub. Speaking to what he thought were Irish people.
Just because they're in it's a rule that they must be Irish because they were in a place that had an O and an apostrophe in the name.
It's like anyone eating a burrito naturally speaks Spanish. He went to a Taco Bell.
Never mind. I can't improve on that.
That'll be tomorrow.
No, but there's some. Sarah, you're kind of, you wear a plastic hat once a year. What is the black and tan? There's some business about black and tan. It's a Ben and Jerry's flavor. Because it's like coffee and chocolate, ice cream mixed together. And they sell it at the Pied Cow, too.
Well, black and tan is usually Guinness with the lager.
Okay, and so there's some, I don't know, somebody in Ireland or somebody in I care so little about the British-Irish conflict. I just don't even care. I care less than you can possibly imagine. But somebody in either Britain or Ireland was bitching about how they didn't want Ben and Jerry selling a black and tan flavor because it was disrespectful to somebody and has something to do with a bomb going off somewhere. I've already invested way too much time in this. I don't care. We're moving on.
I mean, enough respect is paid to enough people already anyway. I'm on all sorts. Meanwhile,
let's move forward.
Back to Florida we go.
No. Wait, that's me in your face.
You.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hit it again.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, where is your God now?
I never do it second. It's always
Governor Jeb Bush has repeatedly said he's not interested in running for president in 2008, but how about vice president? Well, the buzz in political circles is that Jeb may be willing to sign on as a running mate for John McCain. And the governor was a bit evasive about it when asked about these rumors.
I'm
reading about a John McCain-Jeb Bush ticket in 2008. What's your thought about that?
I'm good. I'm happy to be off vacation, back to work.
Was that Dennis Franz interviewing in there? What's your thought on the you running with the president there?
Reading about a John McCain-Jeb Bush ticket in 2008. What's your thought about that?
I'm good. I'm happy to be off vacation, back to work. And that's what I got to do right now.
Ooh, now that's an evasive answer.
I like Senator McCain. I think he's a good guy.
All right. Well, see, that's going to be frustrating, though, if McCain and Jeb Bush run together, because I would almost vote for McCain just because you get the feeling, because McCain's kind of got that Rumsfeld thing, where he's just, I mean, I don't know what happened in Donald Rumsfeld's background to make him such a bastard. I don't know why he's just such a feisty son of a bitch, and just a guy who looks like he might just beat you in the face with a shovel with no real provocation. But McCain at least has arena. They put him in a box and poke him with sticks for 5 or 6 years in Vietnam.
Yeah, a little like a cat lady.
Yeah. Yes, exactly like the cat lady. Anyway, but McCain, you get the feeling that McCain at some point might just snap and just begin kneeing people in the groin at some sort of a contentious staff meeting. You know, what do you mean you don't agree with me? Whack! You know, it's right there in the jimmy. Seeing Jeb Bush on the ticket with McCain is like, it's like some sort of a, I don't know, it's like some sort of a Led Zeppelin Scott Stapp double bill. You know what I mean? You don't even know how to feel about it. All right, here we go. Wait, we got black and tan. Do we have any more McCain cuts?
No.
All right. Here's. You sound all despondent. You sounded a lot like Bela Lugosi just then.
Did I?
Yes. I have no home. Let's see. We've got sliding glass door calls and black and tan call. Pablo.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
It's going fantastic. What is the deal with black and tan?
I believe when the English army had come into Ireland, they wore black shirts and tan pants.
Okay.
And that's what they were called, and they pissed off all of the Irish people. So if you go into an Irish bar, you need to order a half and half.
Oh, because if you order a black, it's like saying brown shirt.
Exactly. And F. Scotty J. with a black and tan.
Okay. Thank you, Pablo. There you go. All right. Okay. Well, the Irish just need to get over that. Just move on. All right, here's Tim Riley.
More than a dozen people injured yesterday after that gasoline explosion reduced a fashionable four-story townhouse in Manhattan's Upper East Side to rubble. Investigators believe the explosion may have been the result of a failed suicide attempt by Dr. Nicholas Bartha.
I saw a photo of him yesterday. He's on that, what is that, striker bed or whatever? It's like a gurney where they put you because all of your bones have turned to dust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he sent his email, instead of being a gold digger, you'll be a rubble digger, to his ex-wife. Ira Garr was Bartha's divorce lawyer and said there were two key issues in this divorce case.
Two central issues in the case. One was whether Mrs. Bartha was entitled to a divorce. Dr. Bartha didn't want to be divorced. And the other issue was whether this house, which he had inherited primarily from his parents, belonged to him alone or was marital property.
I don't even care. I don't even care about it. I care so little. Do we have to break here? All right. And then we've got more. Listen to this one. Sliding door closed on his head.
Oh.
We'll get to that when we come back. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. Coming up later on, senior radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, Jim Roop, Peter Carlin, all of that. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Like a rhino, tables turn, suckers burn to learn. They can't disable the power of my label. Death.
You're loved by everybody. All right, there you go.
A mean thing to say.
You're the one. Okay, you. I can't repeat
I can't help
this
but
on
say
the air.
You spend 10 minutes in the bathroom and there's only one bathroom. Okay, it wasn't 10. It was like a minute.
It was like a minute and a half.
I know.
And you cannot use the bathroom in 30 seconds or less. That maybe.
Remember, we can't have this conversation on the.
No,
air.
I'm just. Well, I'm not going to discuss the actual act. Everybody knows. And if they don't know, they shouldn't be. They don't know. Turn the radio controls back over to your parents. I'm saying that doesn't include time walking to the bathroom, walking back, and any buttoning or unbuttoning you may have to do.
Yeah, you can definitely do that.
In 30 seconds?
I'm in and out. Yeah.
From here to the bathroom do the bathroom activity and back in 30 seconds?
No, I thought you said minus all of the running.
No, well, I can do that.
Okay.
No, that's where half of it comes from, is the walking and the opening the
Why
door.
Why are we
and
talking
the,
about this?
The zipping and so forth. What? Because as I was coming out of the bathroom just now, I can't repeat it on the air. But Sarah, first of all, let me just tell you this. Here's a little something you don't know about Sarah Dillon. That often and we've talked about this before, and I'm sorry that Ed McCarthy has to sit on hold and hear this, but it's got to be said. So there's two different sets of bathrooms. There's some bathrooms on the other side of the building that all the salespeople use, and they used to be for the theater that was up here, and that's where the office people kind of go and whatnot. And then there's a bathroom for the talent here over on this side of the building. Well, that's basically it's for the air staff. That's what it's for. For the on-air people, because it's... Not so much now, but back in the day, you had to be able to run back and forth because you had a thing called a record.
And their bodily functions are different than the rest of the world.
They don't have your human bodily functions. But there's a bathroom just like 15 feet away for all of the on-air people. And so that's what we all use. Sarah uses it. Tim presumably uses it.
I don't have bodily functions. I'm a newsman.
I don't think I've ever seen him use
like a nun or a teacher or something. You see, like, a nun at the store buying ham, and it freaks you out.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know you ate. My point is that during breaks, I will sometimes go to use the bathroom for whatever private function, and Sarah will actually stand outside the door, which, and let me just tell you this. Here's something about the geography of the bathroom here. There's the,
Because everyone wants to know.
No, I'm not.
Why talking about this?
I'm not working blue here. I'm talking. You know what it is? This is relatable. This is a comment. Everybody's got a bathroom. So there is the actual toilet in the bathroom.
So nobody else can steal this because we're the only ones with this restroom set up.
Exactly.
Like
well, I guess
smoking couple. On First Street cannot use the same.
Couple can probably steal it. So let's do this between Carrie Underwood Records. So there's the actual toilet. And then about 3 feet away is the door. Now, the bathroom is much...
Does it have a sink?
I'm trying to tell a story.
Why are you trying to tell a story?
My point is the bathroom is a lot bigger than it needs to be. It's almost big enough to have like a little shower stall, but it does not. So the bathroom is big and it's hard. It's got hard walls and there's no carpet, so it's very echoey, right? So I'm in there doing whatever with the door shut. Sarah stands outside the door and raps on the door loudly and makes all kinds of distracting comments while I'm attempting to do whatever activity. Maybe it's combing my hair. Maybe it's something more intimate. And I am in there and Sarah's outside, whacking on the door and taunting me and making all kinds of bizarre statements to me through the door, which do not end when I'm done. I'll be done, washing my hands, coming out, And then Sarah is, there's nothing more disconcerting than coming out of the bathroom and Sarah has been lurking outside the door the entire time.
Not the entire time. If you weren't always in there.
I'm not always in there.
You have to go to the bathroom every break.
Well, that is true.
Yes, that's always.
Moving on now. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show a man who's had to suffer through this entire conversation. A man who wonders every day why he talks to us. A man who every day wakes up and looks down on his prep sheet.
He's sending his daughter our way.
Hoping he'll have to call someone else. But yes, yes, who is sending... Is she your firstborn? What the hell? That was like a weird out-of-context chortle. Ed McCarthy, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm outside the federal courthouse here in Atlanta. Nice. We're waiting for the Coke guys to come out here.
I'm sorry you had to sit through that whole dissertation about our bathroom here.
Oh, that's all right. I tell you, by the time we actually start talking, these guys are going to come out, and I'm going to have to try to get an interview here.
Well, okay. I'll ask you quickly then. You're in Atlanta, which is the home of the Coca-Cola Corporation.
That's right.
I don't understand. This is what Coca-Cola was selling trade secrets about Pepsi, or have I got it backward?
Well, you got a couple of employees. You got three of them who are charged with that. The federal government stepped in. Apparently, they sent them some documents or whatever, and some kind of a product that Coke came out with. This is what the government is saying, and so all of a sudden, Pepsi gets a hold of this. Calls the FBI immediately, turns them in, and these guys are here in court today. So they were in court last time. A couple of them are trying to bond out, and that this thing has gone on. It supposedly started at 1:30 Eastern, and now it's like 3:37 Eastern.
And so what kind of...
We're hanging outside here, kind of waiting, because it's a federal courthouse, and you can't get any microphones in there, you know?
What sort of trade... I mean, I don't mean to sound daft about this, but what kind of trade secrets are there? I mean, the selling soda seems like a pretty... I mean, it's very competitive, but it does seem like a very straightforward business. Like, what secrets could one of those companies possibly have from the other?
Coke is supposed to have, the secret ingredient, and they have it, a formula that's it's stuffed in a vault in a bank in Atlanta, and that's the story that goes on. It's been going on over the years. But, you know, the experts say that if you really wanted to find out what was in it, there's all kinds of chemistry you can do on samples to figure it out. But I guess somehow this woman who was fired immediately from the company, she was in the executive office, and she apparently was privy to some kind of documents, and the government claims that she sent off some kind of a sample of one of Coke's new products.
It's all very interesting. All right. So, well, I'll tell you what. We'll let you get back to this. I'll be curious to know how this turns out, because it doesn't seem like it could be all of that difficult to figure out. You know what I mean? There's probably some guy in the audience right now that could tell me what it is. So,
but you know, it's funny. You know, the great rivalry between Pepsi and Coke. I mean, Pepsi got some good PR because they stepped up to the plate.
Well, because they turned the woman in. Yeah.
The government.
Yeah. All right. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, the land of Coca-Cola, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Okay, Rick.
All right. There you go. Thank you. All right. I don't think you heard that thing about his daughter being the firstborn. Did he say
he was maybe laughing about that?
I think that's his thing. I think it's like a tick with him. I think his default setting is just sort of a ha, ha, ha. We should excerpt that out and make that just an apropos of nothing sound effect. We should totally do that. Are we rolling tape just now?
Well, you always.
I don't think
not
you
in
anything.
Here.
Oh, we've got the skimmer going. That's
yeah.
Right. We've got the okay. I'm going to excerpt out that Ed McCarthy laugh, and we're going to play that when something isn't amusing to us, but we want the caller to feel like it is amusing in general, and we just play the disembodied laugh of Ed McCarthy. Speaking of disembodied laughs, by the way, before we get back to the news, let me just tell you this: that I got this is from. Hold on. I want to make sure that I give proper credit where it's due here. I got emailed to me. Remember we had that whole sound thing we played the other day? Here we go. This is from Daniel. Now, you remember we had that thing of Tim Riley being blown out of his chair by the top five sound?
Yeah.
How loud it was. So we had this sound we played, I don't know, what, Friday or Monday? Something. It was from a couple days ago.
It was Friday.
And it was the sound of us playing a top five bit that was so loud that it had actually blown Tim right out of his chair. And so we played it back. Let me see if I have the original sound here. I'm not entirely sure that I do. But it was this sound. Oh, here we go. This is us playing a top five.
All right. Or
and this is
the delivery is enough to make one.
This is a top five from a few weeks ago, and this is Tim playing the top five worst singers of all time, and then this Creed song comes on so loudly that it literally knocked Tim out of his chair. Yeah, because this is the same day my headphones went bad.
Yep.
Because we were talking about how it was, this soundbite was responsible for like 20% of Tim's deafness.
I'm praying for a quick step.
So you'll hear how loudly this soundbite comes on and the fact that it deafens him immediately.
Most irritating singers of all time.
And we have to not laugh
here. Five most irritating singers of all time as voted on by the people who go to the Rick Emerson MySpace webpage. Go! Honorable mention goes to Scott Staff of...
Oh, ow. All right, so there you go. So that is from last Thursday. We played it back on the air, and we're laughing uproariously at it because it's pretty,
it's still
pretty
funny.
It is pretty damn okay. But now listen to this. You can see this coming. I believe now it becomes like an Escher painting. I believe this is a soundbite of us laughing. At that soundbite of us laughing. And this is from Daniel.
Oh! Honorable mention goes to Scott Stafford.
It's like a room full of us.
We're ourselves laughing at something.
This must have sounded like gibberish. To anybody listening the first time, like last week, it must have just sounded like there were 40 people in the room. We must have sounded like the Corolla Show.
Honorable mention goes to Scott Stafford.
It's kind of scary, isn't it?
It sounds like something off Salt Park.
It really does. It's kind of disturbing. Let's see, what else do we have? He sent us a whole bunch of them. All right.
You're laughing, Rick, says the female, but maybe that's where Tim lost part of his hearing. I don't think it ever really came back. I gotta play it one more time.
I think we played it endlessly, too. What else do we have here?
Dave Paul's marmalade is still sitting in there.
Okay. Moving on. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, billionaire Warren Buffet is in Portland this week. He is here to attend a board meeting of Mid-American Energy Holdings. What's it doing here?
That sounds like a fun-loving group of guys.
It does.
Boy, they're going to tear that hotel down.
And they're going to have a big bachelor party. This is a subsidiary of an investment company he chairs known as Berkeley Hathaway.
I'm becoming more interested in this story by the moment.
The company recently closed its purchase of Pacific Core, Oregon's second-largest utility.
This is the funniest story we've ever read. Hold me back.
Then I'll have dinner with Governor Kulongoski, who's about as exciting as well. You know.
There you go.
So Mr. Buffett will be here.
Okay.
Jimmy's cousin.
Fantastic.
I had something else here, but I lost my place.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
You know, we're all big fans of Kathy Griffin. And for some reason last night, she was Larry King's guest for an entire hour.
Oh, God. Did you ever watch Larry King and you get the feeling it's one of those days when nobody else was around?
Yeah.
And so that's why Liza Minnelli ends up on there sometimes. Like, and it's all because there is a very predictable cycle to this sort of thing. When you have something to promote, when you have something to pamper to whore, that's when you end up on the Larry King show. But then it's like when Carson would have on Dean Martin for no reason at all. Mm-hmm. And tonight we welcome Dean Martin. You tune into Larry King sometimes, and he'll have, he'll have two people. He'll have Liza Minnelli. Or who's that guy? Who's that a-hole? Does the name have a J in it? Did he die bad? John Edward, yeah. That guy. He'll have that guy on. And that, by the way, here's a little. Since we've been talking so much about radio over the last week because of this unpleasant Court and Fat Boy business, which we'll bring the curtain down on at 1:30. They're going to be in the studio with us at 1:30, and we'll smooth things over and put everything behind us and move forward. But when you tip for you when you're listening to especially like a talk radio program, here's how you know that a talk radio host has not done any show prep for that day. He will come in and he will mention abortion. He will mention gun control. He will mention nuclear power. He will mention the death penalty. Now these
astrology.
Things. I was getting to that one. See, because there's different types of talk shows. But when it's a sort of issue-oriented show, or when it's some sort of, you know, like a Lars Larson type show, where it's just a bunch of white people congratulating each other on being rich and smart. You know what I mean? That's all it is, man. It's, you know, that's a whole lot of Rick. I want to, you know, those guys, you'll hear those guys who call up sometimes that they clearly want this to be like that kind of a, it's a whole lot of, well, I want to keep my neighborhood the way it is. Rick, I don't know why you don't talk about the important issues, like the fact that all of our family values, the fact that the suburbs are going to hell, Rick. So it's those guys who call into that Lars Larson show, and it's a whole lot of, like weird, like conservative backslapping. But when you hear one of those hosts bring up like gun control or something, that's what it is. Guy woke up late, no show prep done. When you listen to a morning show or an FM, you know, kind of like a zoo show or one of those things, and they have a psychic on, an astrologer, or anybody who interprets your dreams, that means they have nothing prepared for that week. Anytime you are listening to a radio show and they have a phone psychic on, they have somebody who can predict your listener's future, they have somebody who can do a numerologist, anything like that, means they have nothing put together. That is the punting of sort of FM talk shows and DJ, you know, music-based talk shows. That's completely what that is. So it is with Larry King. You watch Larry King, and he said, we're sitting here with Liza Minnelli. That's totally what Larry King was in the hospital for some sort of painful colon surgery, and he has nothing put together. And that's what they go with.
And that's what happened last night.
And that's who he had, the Kathy Griffin on, who no one likes.
No.
And I don't believe that there's anybody out there. I mean, I could be wrong about this, but I suspect that I am not. There's nobody out there who watches Larry King for Larry King. When is the last time you said to yourself, you know what, I just can't get enough of that Larry King? I find his interviewing style to be insightful, and I find that he himself is a tremendously compelling and entertaining individual. No one has ever said that. Even when he was doing radio 15 years ago, you would only ever listen if you liked the guest or if you were working at a 7-Eleven somewhere and you wanted something to keep you awake between muggings. That's all, man. So there you go. And Kathy Griffin, who is disliked by everybody.
Well, she said her marriage, and who knows she was married, ended in divorce because her husband stole from her. She accused Matt Moline of stealing money out of her bank account over a period of time, over $72. Her husband, without her knowledge, snuck into his wallet, her wallet, and stole her ATM cards and withdrew money.
Well, imagine being married to that woman.
Oh, that's $72,000.
You must just wake up every day and just look over your kitchen implements and wonder exactly, you know, which the right angle to cut is, you know? All right. Let's see. What are we, should I be taking these,
Hey, right. You might as well.
Hello, Jim. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rick. How you doing, buddy?
Hi there.
Rick, I was listening to Lycus last night.
Yes, sir.
And I heard the spot for medical hair. Oh, my God, Rick.
It was so terrible. Let me just...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, by the way, I already got an email about asking this specific question. If somebody had to write down Wade Boggs for me. So I don't want to revisit that whole unpleasantness. If you remember the last time I was talking about medical care restriction, I really was tempted, though, to say Wayne Boggs, just to, like, give a little shout-out to the old people. Yeah.
Rick, does Storm know that you're considering, seriously considering, medical hair?
Does Storm know?
Does Storm know that?
I'm not entirely...
We've got to get that information to Storm Large.
And why is that?
Well, just because I think it's hilarious that you would seriously be considering it.
But why do we have to get that information to Storm Large?
I think she'd find it interesting as well, knowing you as well as she does.
Okay. Am I missing... Is there some sort of a... is there like an implication here that I'm...
Well, I mean, she knows. She's been in here when he did live.
But why Storm, of the many hundreds of millions of people in this country?
Well, because, you know, I think that she'd find that quite humorous, knowing what her persona is and, you know, just knowing who she is. I think that she would find it really amusing that you would be seriously considering medical hair.
All right. See, this is one of those times we could use that Ed McCarthy laugh. All right. Thank you, Jim. All right. There you go. And
I don't get it.
I don't understand.
I don't
there you go. And we're done now. All right. There you go. See, wouldn't that have sounded fantastic?
Yeah.
All right. There he goes. 503-733-2970.
Do you still have the Russian sounder? You should play that more.
The Russian sounder?
Or the Italian.
Oh, I mean the, wait, hold on. The, Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, that's only for, no, you're totally right. No, Scotty, you are completely right about that. Yeah, that's exactly what I needed for, that's exactly what I needed for Jim just now. We'll play it retrospectively. Here we go.
Thank you.
Even though the mystery noise contest is done.
So-
It would be a shame to let this Chung go by the wayside. Let me just say this, speaking of Chung, do you realize now, what are the odds of this? This is either some bizarre quirk of fate thing, or it really just does testify to the fact that radio is the same everywhere. Do you realize I have now in my life worked with two different people whose on-air names were Jimmy Chunga? Two of them. How is that even possible? Two people, two different formats, two different states. Both of them on morning shows, of course. But two people, Jimmy Chunga. And then, insert in your head Ed McCarthy. That's fair. I've got to get that now. See, and the problem is, I bet if we got Ed McCarthy on and asked him to do it, he wouldn't be able to do it. He probably couldn't do it on the spot. It's a thing that has to occur naturally. All right. I don't even know what we're doing here.
It's asking Ed Sullivan to be Ed Sullivan.
Can I just tell you this? Well, I feel so bad because we've gotten to so little news over the last, week. Every day, Tim comes in with a pile of news prepared that's, 6 inches high. And every day, we get to less and less and less of it.
Well, it's like being on a mini vacation.
Were you trying to do your own little Ed McCarthy laugh there? All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's go back to Florida.
Oh! No! God damn you! Fine. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, police in Fort Pierce, Florida say a convenience store clerk is being held without bail on suspicion of attacking a boy for not buying a yo-yo.
Okay.
His name is Amir Shitar. Apparently, a girl was browsing for snacks and then allegedly played with a yo-yo. After the girl paid for the items, Howard told the girl to put down the toy and leave the store. And then it was demanded that that child pay for the yo-yo.
I'm sorry, so I don't understand. So the girl bought took the yo-yo?
She was playing with the yo-yo.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. And then he demanded that the yo-yo be paid for. But
are we really talking about this?
Yeah.
Sarah's not even listening. Sarah's actually picked up a newspaper and is reading a Les Schwab commercial.
I think my dog might be a bully. I'm reading about it.
Okay. I know. I was reading that, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, then the storekeeper punched the boy because he wouldn't pay for the yo-yo.
How old is the boy?
Let's say 14.
Fantastic. All right.
And then investigators allege he pulled the boy behind the counter and stabbed him on the back of the arm with a butcher knife.
I'm sorry. Is that real?
Yes, it is.
The story's taking an alarming twist.
Mm-hmm.
I was mentally tuning out. With every passing moment, this was becoming fuzzier and fuzzier in my ears because my attention was waning.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't just yank the boy back behind the counter and punch him. He stabbed him with a butcher knife because the boy wouldn't pay for a yo-yo.
That's correct.
That's fantastic. Okay, see, there you go. See, that's the point at which it becomes Emersonian right there. I have no observations to make on that except to say that my dad would constantly remind me when I was growing up, he would find an excuse, once every 3 or 4 days to remind me that he was the Duncan Yo-Yo champion of Washington State in 1962.
Well, a Columbia, South Carolina woman and her sister had to go to the hospital after a bartender mistakenly dipped their martini glasses in a cleaner used to clean the fryer.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
The bartender at Doc's Gumbo Grill... ran out of sugar Saturday night.
Sounds like a clean place.
And asked the dishwasher that speaks mainly Spanish for more.
Oh.
The employee gave the bartender a box containing a white substance that looked like sugar, but it was actually oven cleaner.
That's fantastic. And what kind of drink was this for?
This is for a martini.
Well, what kind of martini has sugar in it? Is it like an apple martini or something?
A martini in South Carolina.
Right. I thought it was all mint and juleps down
there.
That's
what I thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, 42-year-old Rita Hammond is in good spirits. And is recovering.
I'm fine. Okay. Whatever you say. Let's see. I'm sorry. Is this... hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Hello, this is Carol, the token Italian.
Is that the only reason you called up, is to hear that?
No, I heard you say that only when you have psychic kind of things on your show, you got nothing set up. And I was thinking of calling you, and then you played the sounder, and I thought, is that a psychic thing or what? But no, no, I was going to say about Kathy Griffin.
Yes.
Kathy Griffin. Okay. You know, she told on Larry King that her husband,
Hold on. Did you watch Kathy Griffin on Larry King?
I saw a cut of it when I was watching something else.
Uh-huh.
I believe you.
Yes. Okay.
It was during the townhouse explosion when it took the break.
I was waiting for something else to come. I was waiting for something else to come on, right?
I was.
Uh-huh. What was the show you were waiting for?
Hell's Kitchen.
Is that on CNN?
No, it is not. I have a split screen. I bounce back and forth between programs.
So you were the... Okay, but how much... Do you have cable?
Yeah.
Okay, so how many channels do you have?
Whatever basic is. I have no clue.
That's like 65 channels, though, basic
Could
cable.
Be.
All
yeah.
right. So you were waiting for Hell's Kitchen, which is on what channel?
Hell's Kitchen is on Fox.
It's on Fox.
Yeah.
And so, meanwhile, you have 64 other channels to choose from.
That I'm scanning through, yes.
Okay, scanning means that you stop and you say, let's see.
I stop and say, hey, what is this?
Fishing show, no.
Yes.
You know, like bowling show, no. Larry King, no. This sounds to me like you stopped and viewed for a substantial period
I
of
did.
Time. All right.
I did, because I liked Kathy Griffin on Suddenly Susan. So I wanted to see what she had to say.
Okay.
The point of my story is,
yes.
her old man stole $72,000.
Oh, we thought it was
and
just
she just now found out about it.
How does
my
Kathy
God,
Griffin have $72,000?
With my ATM card, I'm all up in his grill. She waits until $72,000 and then says,
"Good Lord,
we have an issue here."
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Thank
You're
for,
welcome.
Thanks for calling The View.
Thank you. All right. There you go. I have so many layers there, I don't even know where to go. Up in his grill. Okay, here's...
Let's break us to not get behind.
Let's break now. And then we have something. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on. Up in the grill. Jim Rupa. We have a story about grills, don't we, Tim?
Yes, we do.
We have a story about grills. And people who are up in them. Later on, we have Jim Rupe coming up. We have Court and Fatboy from KUFO. We're going to be in the studio so we can iron out all of our differences that have sprung up over the last few days. Oh, we got to talk about this pop culture World Series. The World Series of Pop Culture, which apparently the Portland team won. I feel like a tool because I didn't watch it. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
You can't see, you don't know what I'm talking about. One day. Oh.